And it is 9:34 in the morning, and let us move on to the topic of our health, namely the national health and the healthcare reform that's been discussed and is ongoingly being discussed. As one person I interviewed the other day said, well, now that they've realized that they're using real bullets, people are starting to actually discuss this stuff. There are numerous committees in Congress, congressional committees, discussing various elements. A couple of them actually voted this week, and it was not a pretty picture from the point of view of those of us that want at least a public option and at most single payer. And to try to sort everything out, we have joining us on the telephone Ellen Schaefer, who is the co-founder and co-director of the Center for Policy Analysis and writes frequently. She's been doing a lot of research. That's what they do on health reform. Good morning to you.
Hi there, Chris.
So how bad is it so far? We had Baucus's committee with Mr. Baucus, who gets more money than anybody else from lobbyists. That was a piece that came out in The Guardian just yesterday, the UK Guardian. America's healthcare industry has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to block the introduction of public medical insurance and stall other reforms promised by Barack Obama. Primary target, Senator Max Baucus, the single largest recipient of health industry political donations and the chairman of the finance committee that drafted this legislation, which left the public option out.
Indeed. So the question is, what's up?
Yeah.
All right. Well, two things from what you said. First of all, I think, you know, we can sort of look at this like the night sweats. I mean, I think the worst is over. This was certainly the Senate Finance Committee, which Max Baucus chairs, we knew was going to be the most conservative and come out with the worst policies of the five committees in Congress that have been looking at this issue. So that's one thing, and we can talk a little bit about it. But, you know, in terms of the money and politics, which is certainly important, it is also important to remember these folks. It's important to remember that we can have an influence on this, and we need to take action. And it's not like the insurance industry just mails in their checks and they stay home. No, no, no. You can run all over D.C. and get on the media and turn out teabaggers and do all this stuff to influence public opinion. And we don't have the money that the insurance industry has, but we can do all of those other things, and this is the time to do it.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, and there also have been a lot of polls that are showing more and more that the vast majority of folks, up to 65% or more, wants some kind of public option.
Mm-hmm.
That's not debatable anymore. It has been debatable, although I get all this right-wing email saying, older oldsters, you can stop Obamacare. Join us now. This is Dick Morris calling for elders to stop Obamacare.
Right, right. Well, and that's another question in terms of some confusion about what's going on with Medicare, which
generated confusion. Yeah.
Exactly, right. No, it's all manufactured puffery. But as I was saying, the worst of it is over in terms of what's going on in the committees. If you want to look at what you can stand to talk about what the Finance Committee did, we can talk about that a little bit. You know, the other encouraging thing, I think, and a good example, was Representative Alan Grayson. Have you heard about all that little flap?
It's ringing some vague bell back in the back of my mind. I don't really know what it is, though.
Okay. Well, he's a representative, a Harvard-educated lawyer, representative from Florida, and he got up on the House floor Tuesday night and said basically, you know, in the absence of a Republican plan, he said the Republican health care plan is don't get sick. And if you
oh,
do,
yes,
die quickly.
I love that. I heard
right.
his speech. I didn't remember who it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Republicans are, oh, you know, harumph, harumph, harumph. You know, this is.
Oh, they're demanding
apologize.
An apology. They have such a nerve.
Really pointing out that, you know, as we have seen and continue to see, California Nurses Association found that California insurance companies denied 20% of claims after the over the last couple of years. One in five claims was initially turned down by California insurance companies. So even if you have insurance, I mean, obviously the idea is that, you know, you're not really covered. We know that 60% of bankruptcies are due to medical bills. If the studies have followed, insured people and uninsured people over 5 years, people with who weren't insured were 40% more likely to have died than people with insurance.
Wow.
I mean, it's just not really just disputable. So I think it's interesting, of course, that the Republicans are going to get huffy about this, but it's also encouraging that we have leaders who are willing to take some heat and get out there and really rev up the heat on this issue, and get out there and be bold and provide some leadership.
Okay, well, bold is good. Michael Moore has been saying, please, Democrats, get some spine.
Yeah.
And he's not the only one, of course.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Who are these leaders that we that we can help and support?
Well, the Progressive Caucus continues to talk about a strong public option. And, of course, what we mean by a strong public option is, first of all, one that's there, and in the Senate Finance Committee, it's not. So that means what the Senate has got to come up with is a bill that looks more towards the Health Committee's version and make sure that that goes in there, that it includes paying providers based on Medicare rates and includes Medicare providers in it. So we've got to make sure that those things happen. And we have to make sure it is important that we pass this and that we pass it in the best possible form. But, you know, Chris, it's not going to be as good as the Medicare program,
mm-hmm.
the single-payer program. So we've got to make sure that these bills give us the option to pass single-payer on the state level. There is an amendment on the House side that can do that. So we've got to make sure that we support the Congressional Progressive Caucus. We should be congratulating our friends on the Senate side, whom we did succeed in pushing, even in the Finance Committee. We got Senator Rockefeller and Senator Schumer from New York to push for the public plan option. They didn't succeed, but it was a victory. Schumer certainly wasn't saying this stuff a couple of months ago. We've got to make sure that Nancy Pelosi, our own Nancy Pelosi, who's going to have a big role in writing the House version of the bill, that it includes all these things that I was just talking about. And guess who the other big player is that we've got to support and push a bit, and that is the institution that seems to be pulling some of the strings on these folks, and that's at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue from the Congress. I think the president and the White House clearly have some divided views about what they think about all this stuff, and it is really time to turn our attention to calling for leadership from the president.
Nancy, Ellen Schaefer, our guest on the telephone with Center for Policy Analysis. And why don't we do the committees thing? What exactly? Because right now these bills are coming out of committees. One came out before they went on recess, and the big news this week was the Baucus Committee, which,
sure.
As you rightly point out, no one really expected much from in the first place after mm-hmm. all their dithering around.
Right.
What is left to come out, and then there will be, then what happens?
Okay. So there were five committees of jurisdiction, three in the House. They reported their bills already, two in the Senate, and now those are mostly done. The Finance Committee presented a text, a 250-page text. It's now going to get scored, that is evaluated by the Congressional Budget Office, and turned into legislation over the next week. So they're mostly done. They voted on all their amendments. They know in theory what they're going to do. They have to write it into legislation and tell us how much it's going to cost. But that's basically all over, and I think that the White House was sort of pushing them to just hurry up and get it over with. Now, there's a few other – there's typically what would happen is the Senate would put together – Harry Reid, who's the majority leader, cobble together a bill on the Senate side, and the Senate would vote on it. Nancy Pelosi, the speaker on the House side, would put together the three bills that came out over there, and the House would vote on it. There are a few interesting things we can talk about in terms of single-payer votes on the House side if it went forward. Now, what would then happen is there would be a conference committee. The House would conference with the Senate, and they would talk about the differences in the two bills, and they'd hash it out and then go back and vote on each side. Now, that may be what happens. What some folks are talking about now are a couple of different scenarios. One possibility is that the White House would just call everybody together and say, okay, folks, you've done your drafting. We've had a lot of debate. We've had a lot of hearings. Here's what we want to see in the bills. Go back to your houses. Go back to the House. Go back to the Senate. Get a vote on bills that are, you know, pretty much essentially the same, and let's just wrap this up. That would be a pretty strong departure from what usually happens, but it would be a way to get some of these bills passed or get something passed pretty soon that would be definitive and decisive and would take into account what the White House thinks. So we don't know if that's going to happen, but it's something, you know, if we think we can influence events that way, it's something we can push for. Assuming that it's going to be the normal course of events, it'll be back to Plan A, which I described, which is for the rest of the week. Just watch what Senate Finance comes up with. Won't be a lot of surprises. Push hard. If there's going to be a Senate bill, make sure that it includes what we want: affordability, a strong public plan option, and strong national standards. There's really nothing like the Kucinich amendment for state single payer on the Senate side. There are some waivers for states to be able to take whatever actions they want to take, and I think that's not the same thing, and we need to be really careful about letting states loose without strong federal guidelines. So that's what's going on the Senate side. On the House side, as I said, some pretty good language in there already about state single payer. Pretty good language about a public plan option. We would like to see it stronger, start sooner, cover more people, but keep the language about using Medicare reimbursement rates and using Medicare providers. And watch what goes on the floor in terms of the debates about overall single-payer bills. So we could talk about that for a minute, too, assuming that the votes, that the procedure in Congress goes the way it usually does. Senator Sanders is planning to talk about single-payer on the floor, to introduce a single-payer amendment on the floor of the Senate and talk about how much better single-payer would be than what we're doing. And Representative Anthony Weiner of New York is planning to do the same thing on the House side. And those would be some pretty interesting debates.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing some of those anyway once they get going. You're listening once again to Ellen Schaefer with the Center for Policy Analysis. She also blogs regularly at www.ellenschaefer.blogspot.com on these and other topics, but these and related topics. Speaking of related topics, I'm so good at distracting things. And I want to go to this one, which is the subject of Ellen Goodman's The Estimable Boston Globe columnist. Yesterday's column, The Question of Health and Women's Equality, this business about abortion.
Yeah.
And she says it's becoming obvious that just having a female reproductive system is a pre-existing condition in the healthcare debate.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans tried and tried and tried to get abortion to be banned, and which would be horrible. How big a danger is that, actually?
That abortion would be banned. Well,
yeah.
It's certainly a touchstone and a rallying point for the Republicans. I think the Democrats...
Well, some Republicans.
Yes, some Republicans, absolutely. And I think that this is a place where we can really look to our advocates and the supporters and say that we've scored some pretty decisive victories. I think we still have in place the ban on using federal funds for abortion, and that's unfortunate and something we're going to have to overturn over the next couple of years. But the line hasn't moved any further than that.
And, of course, another issue is about the legislation would require all Americans to get insurance. And then there's going to be tax credits, and it's going to be still a big bite for many in the middle class. Most gender subsidies to the poverty line level folks, which is mazel tov. But Kaiser Foundation, or under the Baucus bill, if you're a family of four making $63,000 a year, already you're going to be hungry. But you're going to have to pay 11% of your income for health insurance, according to Kaiser.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and the Finance Committee bill did much worse. They made one change that was better in terms of how much the premiums would cost. There's something called age rating, which is very limited. The question is, if we're all going to have to contribute to this insurance, how much is it going to cost? And this Baucus bill allows insurance plans to charge four times more to older people than to younger people. Originally, it was going to be five times more, so we backed them back a little bit. The House bill is much better than that. But what this Senate finance bill also did was change the way they measure income. So there are, as you mentioned, tax credits and subsidies, depending on your income, that will help pay for these insurance premiums. And on the House side, it's based on your adjusted gross income. So you take all kinds of deductions depending on your contributions to your IRA plan and things like that. On the Senate side, they're not letting you take any of these deductions. They're counting every single penny that you make and every single penny that your teenagers make and everybody that everybody makes in your family.
Oh, yeah, well, I want to count every penny they make. How would they like that? I mean, please.
There you go.
The nerve.
Quite. So the affordability standards, once we make sure that most people are going to be subject to this bill, the affordability standards are important. And again, you know, we have examples to look at. We have Massachusetts. We have Washington State. The Finance Committee seems to have been adopting the worst of everything we already have in place. In terms of Washington State, and callers might be a little bit more familiar with this. I've just read about it. In terms of chopping up the population, all the bills do a little bit better in expanding Medicaid, which is the federal state program for covering really low-income people. Under 133% of poverty, you're not going to have to pay anything. More than that, you'd be getting tax credits and subsidies. The best way to deal with people, say, up to 200% of poverty would probably be just to expand Medicaid or some public program. What the Finance Committee did was say, hey, let's carve out this, you know, little tiny poor segment between 133% and 200% of poverty and figure out a different program to help those people buy private for-profit insurance. Well, thank you very much. That's probably not something that we needed to have. So it's things like that that we hope, you know, will not persist, and they can fiddle around with that for the next week in the Finance Committee and encourage Harry Reid to just ignore all that stuff. But
Ellen, I have to interrupt you because Sakura has arrived, I'm happy to say, but I want to know, where can people go to get some information? You're urging people to keep the pressure on, and how we do that is sort of, people might like nuts and bolts about that. Is there a website?
Well, there are many of them on our website, centerforpolicyanalysis.org. Two things. A fast, easy way, there's a take action page, and you can write to the president and tell him to do all the things that I just mentioned, that we want a real affordable public option, et cetera, et cetera. So go there, hit the button. Credo Mobile has been focusing on the president. Do this every single day. Write to your members of Congress. We have things on online also for that. This can be fun. There will be two upcoming events. Tuesday, October 6th, 11:30 to 1, we're going to declare Anthem Blue Cross a crime scene. People can go to Justin Herman Plaza, 1 Market Street near the Embarcadero Center in San Francisco. The following week, Thursday, October 15th, 7:30 a.m., the place to be announced. People can look at our website to find out about that. There's going to be another event supporting single payer in the Kucinich Amendment. And I want to point out, people have been very creative. There was a wonderful event in Whole Foods about a week ago where people just showed up because John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, has been saying some unfortunate things as a rich person himself about what the rest of us ought to do about getting coverage. Showed up, sang and danced, got stuff on YouTube, very creative, got a lot of media. We need to be doing all kinds of stuff like that, but do keep an eye on our website. We've got a listserv if you want to join it and publicize things of your own.
All right, centerforpolicyanalysis.org.
That's it.
Ellen, you are the bomb. I thank you so much.
Thank you,
and have a good weekend.
Hey, you do too.
Ellen Schaefer at the Center for Policy Analysis, and go there, centerforpolicyanalysis.org, and that sounds like a really good one. Blue Cross, a crime scene, indeed.